This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. As we think about this spiritual walk, there may be things we can draw from Scripture and provide with wisdom, application for our lives on how to become more like Jesus, how to live in His presence. We have with us a guest who is no stranger to this program. Dr. Ken Boa has given his life really to equipping us for these kind of things. And a recent book he's written, we've talked about before, Life in the Presence of God, is an incredible journey, if you read it, on how to know the Lord and live in His presence. And so, Ken, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to talking more about this in the workbook you've now written and completed, the guidebook to help us live this out. Thank you for being with us today.
Delighted to be with you.
So the life in the presence of God begins with a biblical basis, a basic understanding of why this is important and some guidelines from Scripture on how we can have confidence that we can walk with Him and know His presence, hear His voice, become more like Him. As we are just taking a minute here on the first part of the book, what maybe salient thought from that, from your writing and pondering this for many years, what would you like to bring as a recap, a summary, or a challenging point?
One of the things that struck me so profoundly, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, was the biblical imagery that virtually presupposes a more robust practice of God's presence throughout the course of every day in such a way that it just literally assumes that we're going to be, for example, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And other sorts of images of this sort. Abiding in Christ is not something you just do in the morning as part of your devotionals, but that you actually practice this throughout the course of the day. To walk by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit is also another wonderful metaphor, an ongoing image, isn't it, of the idea of practicing His presence in such a way that it's all the time. I think of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And that's so comprehensive, everything you say and do. And then other metaphors as well. Even the whole understanding of loving God, what does that mean? Is that just a moment? No, it's throughout the day, loving your neighbor as yourself. And so the more I began to process this, set your mind in the things above, dwell on these things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, of good repute, of anything excellent, worthy of praise, what do we to do? Dwell on that. Setting our minds on things above, not on things on earth. All of these metaphors, in my mind, presuppose an ongoing practice that I find has been largely overlooked. We may allude when we hear the phrase practicing the presence of God, and some people will immediately think perhaps of Brother Lawrence. But really, at the end, he didn't even tell us much of how he did this. So what you have here is my belief that we've got to find practices, methods of actually bringing the spiritual to bear on all components of the material.
We could tend to think, well, God is spirit, we're not, and so we just need to sort of get out of the way, just stop everything and let God do His thing. But the idea of practice suggests there's something we need to do to connect with God. And your book moves us, when it comes to practicing His presence, first into training. I remember Paul telling Timothy to train himself for righteousness. What kind of training do we need?
Yes, and that's, you've hit on another theme that really struck me, the idea of training rather than trying. Huge distinction. I'm not really trying to make something happen or do this for God, but rather training in righteousness. And when we think of the word training, we ought to think about repetition, that we repeat practices to get us good at something, whether it's going to be playing the scale. If I'm a concert musician, it doesn't mean that you just stop practicing. You constantly practice. Or whether it's a golfer, he's always going to be practicing. It's not just just when he's on the tour, or if it's a person who is a speaker, or whatever their task is going to be something involved in getting good at it through habituation. So the realization, this is one of the two things that really grabbed me. First of all, it's not trying, it's training, which means to show up and to repeat the same practices until they become fluid, habitual, second nature, a muscle memory, as it were. And then the other one that really hit me was the realization that there are a lot of exercises we can take on board that really don't take much actual time, but more a matter of intention. So, for example, when I'm shaving, I could choose, if I wish, to take that time, which for most people is fairly dead, and I could instead use that and leverage it for good. So I could then review a text of scripture or just review something, some renewal verses. In other words, taking dead time or being grateful, choosing the way of gratitude throughout the day doesn't have to take time. It just takes choice, or to look at beauty when I'm driving. So that those two things, trying, not training, and intention more than time, helped me come up with this collection of exercises that people can do that they really can accomplish, even if they think they can't. Anyone can do this if you just continue. And so I'm seeking to believe, and my belief is this, that we're amphibious beings, and as such, we have one foot in heaven, the other on earth, but the issue on as being earthbound embodied is that our natural default is the material, the tangible, the visible. Hmm. And my belief, though, is that God's created us in such a way that as amphibious beings, we are spiritual beings having this earthbound embodied experience. If this is true, then God's wired us in such a way that we could take the spiritual and by training and habituation, make it become more and more part of our material practice until finally the two become so integrated. And that's what I seek to do.
I kind of think the disciples, they're out on the Sea of Galilee and there's a storm and Jesus calms it. And that's what we want. We want his calm in our lives. But then he told them to row to shore. He expected them to do something to get to the other side. And when you talked about even while you're shaving, you know, I immediately in my mind, I saw someone putting a little Bible verse on the mirror so they could maybe meditate on it and go forward spiritually. That's their rowing. They're doing their part. Is that kind of what you're talking about in the next section in your book, Under Practice? You talk about rewiring the mind.
Yes. So in this book, I have a chapter in Life in the Presence of God that we've discussed together before on the whole idea of neuroplasticity, how it's actually possible. We talked about the biblical basis for it, and then we talked, besides the biblical basis, how to do it, and we talked about rewiring your mind and what that means. And this discovery in the last few decades of neuroplasticity and the realization that no one really knew before is that the neurons that fire together wire together. There's an actual physicality in which we can create new neural pathways, and that's the key to muscle memory, and it's true for any endeavor. So my belief is that through habituation and practice, we begin to literally rewire our brains in such a way that we become more spring-loaded toward the spiritual realm and not just the being pulled down just to the material. We have both together.
Beautiful. That helps us to re-see the world. I'm just hitting some chapter titles here to summarize things we've talked about. You know, this is a beautiful world, but there's a lot of darkness and difficulty in it. Are you suggesting, Ken Boa, that if we learn, and maybe even with the help of the guidebook we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, if we learn to practice his presence, we can tend to see the beauty of the world and to let that fill our hearts instead of the dark stuff that can pull us down and cause depression?
Yes, and I think we can choose. Again, it really comes down to a matter of what do we choose to focus on, to think about? And I draw an important distinction between speaking to ourselves and listening to ourselves. The latter is what most people do, and they're not really thinking clearly. They're just there's this undercurrent of complaining or fear or whatever it happens to be that is a narrative, because we can't not be speaking to ourselves. The process of the mind constantly works. So now the question is, can we speak to ourselves rather than just listen to ourselves? So my belief is yes, we can choose to focus on those things that are indeed, as the scriptures tell us, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, anything excellent, worthy of praise, to dwell there. And that's now the key there is replacement of an inferior thing with a superior good. And so instead of focusing on the negativity that's around us, It's something as simple as driving my car. I can train myself to look for beauty because everything in the created order points to the one who made it. And so I can begin to use even a simple thing as a car drive to look at the funnel of beauty that I'm moving through and looking at the trees, the leaves, the grass, the flowers in a way that otherwise I might have ignored. And so now I'm using time and I'm using time I was going to spend anyway, but I'm using it intentionally to develop. Mm. And so at the same time, I can pray for someone while I'm talking with him. Mm. I can ask the Spirit to guide me and to bring people to mind that I should pray for. All these exercises, I can now realize that when someone serves me when I'm at a restaurant, that's an opportunity for me to treat that person with the dignity of the image bearer, that they bear the image of God that they are. Learn their name, pray for them. I believe that our lives are so filled with opportunities that they're often missed. And by intentionality and training, we can begin to bring everything to bear into the spiritual realm. It's this wonderful stanza from George Herbert's The Elixir, "Teach me my God and King, in all things thee to see, and what I do in anything to do it as for thee." So everything matters.
Today I heard of someone who, used his extra time. No, he didn't use it well. He got sucked into gaming. It became a bit of an addiction. It was masking pain he wasn't dealing with. And he went down and down and committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And there's a place in all of us where there might be a secret thing we do. You know, D.L. Moody, I think, said, "You are what you do in the dark." You know, there might be things we kind of regret. We wish we could find victory. And this is exactly why you've written these books, is to help us live in victory, even in the quiet, in the dark, in the lonely times, to know his joy, to know the Lord's presence, to feel that we're really doing the right thing moment by moment. So I want us to move now into the guide, and we're going to do so right after this break.
Scripture Awakening, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90, study B next, and live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 Days. Study B-Next. B-Next is a natural next step after reading B90. B-Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're so glad you're with us today as we talk about life in the presence of God. We have with us Dr. Ken Boa. Ken has a website that is, I think, more replete and stock full of incredible resources than most any website you're going to find out there when it comes to instruction on how to live the Christian life. Ken, I think we just go to kenboa.org. Is that right?
That's correct.
And there you have a guidebook around the book that we've been discussing around life in the presence of God. And this guidebook, is it available online for free?
It's available. One can go to the store at kenboa.org and look for it. It's a guide. It's called A Guide to Practicing God's Presence. Mm-hmm. And it's a companion guide to the book we were just discussing, Life in the Presence of God, that gives a collection and a series of exercises. And so one can either download a PDF or they could purchase the physical version of the book. So they have a choice in that way.
Well, thank you for
this book consists of 8 categories of exercises that are very practical that people can take on board. And we crafted it in such a way that we ended up with 8 categories with 13 exercises under each of the 8 categories, which adds up to 104. So the upshot then is that 104 divided by 2, you have a 1-year process with 2 exercises per week. And it invites you to week, for example, week 19, for example. I just happen to open it up. four transforming words, and they're from Psalm 39, and that's a wisdom exercise, whereas the other exercise for that week happens to be a 3x5 card. You literally write it out in your words and carry it with you. And the idea here is to give people very practical things they can do throughout the course of a week, as many times as they can throughout the day. It's not just you do it in the morning, you do it as many times, and you carry it with you. And so there are lifestyle exercises that we have, and then there are physical exercises. There are prayer exercises, relational exercises. Another category is scripture exercises. And then there are also sensory exercise, for example, cultivate a seeing eye, the ministry of music, and so forth. Then time and work exercises, and then finally wisdom exercises. And so it all adds up. We're actually, by the way, Bill, we're creating an app for this. It's going to be called Presence, and that we hope to have available in July. But some people will like that because they can tell it how often to remind you, this sort of a thing. I'm a big believer, then, in having something that is a, here, let me take you by the hand and show you how to invite the spiritual to be immersed and enveloping the material with the spiritual.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it's interesting, Ken, before we dive more deeply into the guidebook itself, to think about the era of the church we call the Middle Ages, when these monasteries flourished and people who wanted instruction, they're still out there, but it's not a common thing for the average, especially Protestant, to go to a monastery. But the Catholic Church, it was the church. And if you wanted to go deep, you had people who would help instruct you and guide you on this. And would you say that's kind of a little bit of a parallel to what you're offering now for the average person today?
Yes, it is a parallel, because the one name that people might bring to mind when they hear that phrase, practicing the presence of God, will be this person named Brother Lawrence, a 17th century monastic. And we only know of him because of some letters he wrote as a spiritual director and telling people about how you can bring the spiritual to bear on the material. And he's known for the idea of his working in the kitchen in this monastery and that becoming as spiritual as anything he would do in the church. And the problem there is it doesn't tell us a lot about how he actually achieved that. And so what I felt needful was to create a practical, hands-on guide to tell anyone how to do this. And I know that these 104 exercises, they're not all going to be meaningful to people. So that's why at the end of the week, each you're given an opportunity to say, did this exercise work for you? And even if only half worked for you, by the end of that year, you'll have a suite of 52 practices that do work for you, because people are different. So I'm just trying to give people a collective array of things that can help us to be enveloped in the spirit, the spiritual realm, and to let that touch and connect with the material. And it's not multitasking, it's integrating heaven and earth. And so we, as amphibious beings, then, need to begin to learn, how is it possible for me to rejoice always, to practice gratitude as much throughout the day? And all these other things, again, Scripture presupposes that we should be doing. So I felt a need for creating a kind of a hands-on manual, and that's what this Guide to Practicing God's Presence really is. And you can do it individually, or you could do it collectively. And some of my groups are right now, we're all on week 12, and so I send out an email every week and tell them about the current week. And so that's a nice idea, too. If you knew that other people were doing the same exercises that week, it could be kind of a mutual reinforcement as well.
So, Ken, if someone's listening and they say, you know, I'd like to tie in with this group, maybe I'll get my own group started. Can we just join where you are right now, week 12 or whatever it is by the time we connect? Would you like people to connect with you, to email or something, if they wish to do this as a group?
If they wanted to do so, they could certainly shoot an email, and they could send it to the name. It would be Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at kenboa.org. And Jenny would add them to that announcement list. That'd be easy to do.
Okay. Jenny at kenboa.org.
That way she could add them to the announcement list. What the beautiful thing there is that, because she's creating this already for my other groups, is that she could just put it in part as part of the group of people who receive this. I have a daily growth email list as well, and that might be another thing that people might be interested on at the website. But anything I can come up with as a tool to encourage, to assist, to help people be more successful in doing this, because for most people, they haven't been exposed to this as much as I believe that they need to be.
Wow. So if someone connects with you through jennyatkenboa.org, they can not only get the regular kind of follow the flow of the exercises and be in a group if they wish to form
daily
one.
Growth. They could also get this announcement list if they wished, or get my monthly teaching letter, any of those.
Yeah,
or any
excellent.
Two or one or three.
Okay. And it kind of clues the listener in that if they connect through Jenny, there may be other resources on the website they find, and hey, I need this, I need that. So
if you just go to kenboa.org, you're going to see in the home page, it's going to give you an opportunity to the daily growth, and also the reflections are two of them. But then this is yet another thing that we could do.
Okay.
Again, if I can help people be more successful without having to reinvent the wheel, and giving them texts to use, practices to try, and knowing, though, this is a key thing, again, people are different. So what will work for one person may not be effective for another, and that hence the reason for having always two exercises per week, so that chances are good that one of them will work reasonably well. And then people actually can log their experiences, so they can record that, so they actually now have a history, because what I've discovered to Bill is that in my own experience, for example, having an eye for beauty when I drive overlaps with other things. And so each of these things kind of begin to connect, and I begin to see that, you know, you can do all things with a more conscious or intentional understanding of what that looks like in terms of bringing the spiritual to bear on the material, the routine. So then there's splendor in the ordinary.
As I think about the titles of the exercises, ranging from prayer to scripture, sensory, using your time well, having wisdom, many others, it occurs to me, it's kind of what you've been saying, that different people may connect with different categories based on how they're wired, what they've grown up with, where their strengths and weaknesses lie. So would you tend to say, on the one hand, if you dive into this guidebook, you're going to find things that suit you well. It may not even work for someone else. It's going to work for you. On the other hand, you might want sometimes to try areas where you feel weak, because it might give you new windows of a sense of the presence of God, new opportunities to grow.
Yes, because then we're stretching ourselves. And so in trying something that you would not normally be drawn to do, that's a good way of at least getting out of our comfort zone and trying something. And you might discover that it stretches you even more than the practices of the things that come naturally to you.
So let's touch on a few of these. We have just a few minutes here, but I'm intrigued by sensory. You mentioned seeing beauty as you drive. There are some people who just love art. And you know, for me, sometimes I'll be walking down the street and I'll see a color, and I'm just completely enamored by the beauty of that color.
Yes.
Just a color, you know. But tell us about sensory.
Yes, the exercises that I have under sensory, I'll just read them and then zoom in on one or two if you'd like. One is called Cultivating a Seeing Eye, what we've been talking about. The second one is the Ministry of Music, using the auditory sense. And as you well know, some people are more kinesthetic, some are visual, some are auditory. Turn pleasures to praise is another sensory exercise. Any act of pleasure can become a source of praise. Nature walks, photographs, considering the birds, beautiful videos of nature. I'm collecting these. Special places that one goes to. Then also another sensory would be a certain, with watching a great film or great works of art or poetry or even iconic images as well. These are sorts of things that there's a wide variety, as you can see, right just there. And so if we can stretch ourselves, there's a collection of beautiful nature videos that I've found called Moving Art. And if I saw those videos and then at the same time read scripture or just reflected on a text here or there, or instead if I listened to some forms of music that I love very much, and each person's different, and then read scripture with that, they kind of amplify each other. So you're using the various senses to draw us in a richer pathway, because when you have a multiplicity of senses, it reinforces our experience. And so if you can combine the visual and the auditory and the physical, you're just going to have a greater reinforcement. We're sensory embedded beings. We're beings with a sensorium that we are in Christianity, as you know, Bill, is the most incarnational of all worldviews because it tells us that the maker of the world became a part of his actual milieu, that he became one of us and became the amphibious being, the fully God, undiminished deity, but now full humanity. So in enjoying those senses, and by the way, there's a lot more than five senses. That's another discussion. Then I find that they reinforce each other. So great music or art or literature or poetry or just enjoying the world itself in terms of its beauty, microscopic, macroscopic. There's no boundary. There's no limit. And then we can get creative and begin to see my world. The world is charged with the glory of God, the grandeur of God, as Gerard Manley Hopkins puts it in his God's Grandeur. Wonderful. The world, it's charged with the glory of God, the grandeur of God. And or Pied Beauty, another poem, he speaks about everything pointing beyond itself to the Maker, if we can only train ourselves. So I'm looking out the window right now when I'm talking with you, and I see the movement, the flow of the leaves and the trees, and there's a kind of a almost like a movement that they have collectively and then individually, the architecture. So the more we become accustomed to this, we're immersed in mystery and wonder and awe.
I just, before this interview, sat next to a dear friend who's on his deathbed. He's lived a full life. He's ready to see the Lord. None of us have very long. Moses said our lives are like a vapor. We're each going to soon be there. Let's use our days well. Dear friend, you've been listening to Ken Boa, and there are resources there for you. And one of them is a book called Life in the Presence of God. And today we're talking about a guide on how to practice the presence, as it were. It's available free online as a PDF, or you can purchase it. Go to kenboa.org. Ken, thank you so much for being with us and for all the insights we find through your hard work and study and writing. Thank you.
I always enjoy being with you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.